The Good Samaritan. Most people have heard of him, but do they know the story? Do they know why he is called this? Well, the Bible doesn't specifically call him the Good Samaritan, but it does say that he was a Samaritan, and it does show us that he was a good man. So it's right and it's proper for us to talk about the Good Samaritan. Now, many people use that expression. Many people say when somebody does a good deed, well, he was being the Good Samaritan. Now, this story is found in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. And I ask you today, what do you remember about the story of the Good Samaritan? Can you tell that story? I'm afraid that there are many people that talk about someone being a Good Samaritan today that really don't know much about, if anything at all, concerning the story that Jesus told that we call the story of the Good Samaritan. But as you're turning to Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, let me ask you this also. Do you remember the occasion for this story? Do you remember why Jesus taught this lesson? Most people don't. Even if they can tell you something about the story itself, if you ask them, well, what set this off and why did Jesus teach this particular account, they really don't remember or they've never read it. And what we find beginning in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, is that it was because of a question that a man asked Jesus. And we're talking about a man who really knew his Bible well. Let's read beginning in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And here the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up." Now, the word lawyer there does not mean an attorney. This is not a man who is an expert or a qualified man as far as representing a court case like we would think of it. This man was a specialist in the Old Testament scriptures. He's a lawyer in that sense. He's someone who specialized in the law of Moses. He'd spent a lot of time in it. He studied it. He taught it. And perhaps, as many people did in the first century and before that time, perhaps he also made copies of it, in which case he would also be a scribe. But we know that he really knew his Bible well because he had spent a lot of time with it. But that does not necessarily mean that he was living it. You know, a man can know the Bible, he can know what's right, and fail to do it. And what we're going to find here is that this man, as a lawyer, had a question for Jesus that he was tempting or testing Jesus with. And actually, when the story ends, we find that this man is the one that's on trial. Now, the Bible says that this lawyer stood up and he tempted him. He tempted Jesus. Now, he was like some of the other leading Jews. He wanted to test Jesus. That's what the Bible means here in verse 25 when it says that he tempted him. The word tempt means to test. So he wants to see if Jesus really knew what he was talking about. He wants to see perhaps if he could stump him or if he could catch him in some kind of inconsistency. Now his question is the same question that we find the rich young ruler asking. The question, which is the mother of all other questions, and that is, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, we can ask questions and we can get into conversations about many Bible subjects, but there's no subject more important than that one. Not as far as we're concerned, not as far as our destiny and our welfare are concerned. What must I do to inherit eternal life? So the Bible says that Jesus did not immediately give him an answer. Instead, he asked him a couple of questions in return. Now this man says, "Master, what shall I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, first, I've got some questions for you." In verse 26, he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" So Jesus asked him these two questions. First of all, what is written in the law? Now this man was supposedly an expert in the law of Moses. He had read the Bible. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. So Jesus said, "Let me ask you, what is written in the law of Moses? How do you read it?" So Jesus took him immediately to the Bible. He took him immediately to the Word of God, the scriptures. Jesus didn't say, "Well, I guess what you need to do is go talk to your priest and just get the idea from him as to what you're supposed to do. Now, a priest under the law of Moses should have known the answer to that question. But I'm talking about the mentality that some people have today, where there are people that are called priests that are not priests like they were in Bible times appointed by God. But they have somebody over their church that is called a priest. Well, we're not to tell those people, just go to your priest and do what he tells you to do because after all he knows. Jesus did not intimate anything like that. Jesus didn't tell the man, well, I guess what you need to do is to see what your denomination says. I guess you need to check out what your denomination believes about that and what your specific denomination teaches and what their tradition is, and they'll be able to give you the answer. No, Jesus didn't do that. And I'll tell you something else that Jesus did not do that a lot of people do today when a Bible question comes up. Jesus did not say to this man, just pray, and God will give you a feeling, and then you just go with that feeling. You just do what you feel is right, because your feelings will not mislead you. Now, where did people ever get that idea? Where did people get the idea that you can always trust your feelings, and your feelings will never betray you, your feelings will never mislead you? Why, experience shows us that that's not true. There have been times where we had a feeling about a certain thing, and that feeling was wrong. And the Bible plainly tells us in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. And the Bible also tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 25, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the Bible says, don't go by your feelings. Don't try to determine truth. Don't try to determine what's right and what is scriptural and what is not according to how you feel about it. Jesus didn't say, well, just do what you feel is right. Just go by your feelings. No, he said, what you need to ask yourself and what I'm asking you is this. What do the scriptures say? What does the word of God tell you? So you notice here how Jesus exalts the authority of the Bible. And have you noticed that so many times as you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? He doesn't say go by church tradition. He doesn't say just do what you feel is right. He goes back to the Bible and he cites the scriptures and he says you need to respect the authority of the Bible. When the devil came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 three times, he tried to test Jesus, he tempted Jesus, and each time, how did Jesus respond? The Bible says he said, it is written, and then he quoted the Bible. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13, when the scribes and the Pharisees are criticizing Jesus, he said, you need to go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Hosea 6, verse 6, he pointed them to the Bible. When he's criticized in Matthew chapter 12, because his disciples were eating grain and plucking grain on the Sabbath day, he said, have you never read what David did? Have you never read what the priests do in the temple? In Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus' disciples are criticized because they didn't wash their hands before they ate, well, Jesus quoted the Bible to them. He quoted what Moses said. He quoted what the law said. In Matthew chapter 19, when they asked Jesus about divorce, what does Jesus say? Just do what you feel is right? Do what you think is right? No. Jesus took them immediately to the Word of God, and he said, have you never read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And when the Sadducees came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, and they tried to catch him in some kind of inconsistency, he said, have you never read what Moses said at the burning bush? And in Matthew chapter 22 also, when another lawyer or scribe asked Jesus, what was the greatest commandment in the law? He quoted what was written. And he quoted exactly what we're going to see here that this man already knew about. So today, people need to understand this, folks. People may not like to hear the Bible today, but they need to hear the Bible. People need to stop saying, well, I believe, I think, and I feel when it comes to religious questions. And yet that is what the majority of people still do. You bring up a Bible topic, you bring up a Bible discussion, and most people will say, well, here's what I think about it. Here's what I believe about it. And I just feel in my heart that this is what we ought to do. And you know what all that means, folks? You know what all that amounts to? It's just opinion. That's all that you're left with. Why don't people go to the Bible? Why don't people read their Bible more? And why don't more preachers and more churches go to the Bible and say, here's what the Scriptures say. This is what we ought to believe. This is what we ought to follow. This is the only way that we're going to be right in God's sight. If we're going to please God, we're going to have to go back to the Bible and respect what it says and do what Jesus is doing here. Instead of giving our opinion on something, instead of telling and testifying how we feel about a matter, we need to go back to the Bible and say, what is in the Bible? What does the Word of God say? There are many sermons today that have very little Bible, and that's tragic. And there are many conversations that people have about the Bible, and they never bring up the Bible. People argue about it without ever opening it to let God say anything about what they're talking about. As one preacher said years ago, he said, people get so busy giving their opinions, even preachers, that God cannot get His word in edgewise. So this man asked Jesus what to do to have eternal life, and Jesus said, read it for yourself. How do you read what is there? And again, this is a man that knew his Bible. And Jesus is not saying here that just any interpretation of it's going to do. He's not saying, well, now, however you read it and whatever you think about it and however you feel about it is going to be okay. No, Jesus is testing him. Now, this man thinks that he is putting Jesus on trial. He's the one that's going to be tested here. Now, his answer was on the money. His answer was exactly right. In verse 27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, that is exactly the answer that Jesus gave to a Jewish leader in Mark chapter 12 and in Matthew chapter 22 when he was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said exactly the same thing that this man said. So he was exactly right in what he said. Now that should have settled the matter. It should have been over right then. This man wanted to know the answer to his question. Jesus asked him in return what's written in the law, and this man answered his own question. And Jesus acknowledged that. The Bible says in verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. The man knew the answer to start with. Jesus said, you need to do this. So here's a man asking about something that he already had the answer to, and we're going to talk tomorrow about why he did that. And we hope that you can tune in at that time. We're going to begin tomorrow in Luke chapter 10, verse 29, Lord willing, and we hope that you can study with us at that time. Thank you for listening today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.